Welcome to Puentes, Bridges to the Community. Hello, I'm your host, Emily Guerra. My guest on this edition is curator and co-owner of the Gadsden Museum in Mesilla, Tansy Alexander Bird. Bird is a seventh-generation Mesillera and descendant of one of La Mesilla's settlers, Colonel Albert Jennings Fountain. 150 years ago, the war between the states reached into southern New Mexico territory. In commemoration of the Civil War, Bird started Mesilla's 150th Civil War Commemoration Committee. As the chairperson of the committee, Bird approached the Community Foundation of Southern New Mexico, CFSNM, to become partners. Good afternoon, Tansy.
Good afternoon, Emily, for having me.
You're welcome. Tell me about your coming to the Community Foundation of Southern New Mexico, and what did you tell them about this event and how you started it?
Well, to begin with, I went to the Community Foundation because we were looking for a fiduciary. That's a person that we can turn all checks, all cash, any honorariums that people may decide to give to the commemoration event so that we don't have to have books to keep up with. We keep our own books, but they're unofficial books. And this also gives a tax break for anybody who makes any contribution to the event that is coming up.
And the event, it's free. It's a 3-day event starting on October the 19th, and going on through Sunday, October the 21st. Tell us, what is the event?
The event basically is to show our people in the community, and I'm stressing primarily the younger people and the people who have not grown up here with the history that you and I share, to give them an idea of what things were like back then. What did our ancestors do in order to survive? Mesilla today is a beautiful little thriving community, and way back when, in the 1800s, in the 1700s, and in the 1600s, we were all farmers. We were living from day to day on what did or did not grow in the fields. We did all of the canning. We made all of the clothing. We took care of the house. And I don't think that the children of today or modern-day people ever think about what was it really like back then. I started thinking about this after I had retired from teaching. I taught here in Las Cruces at the school system for about 17 years, and I taught up in Idaho for 4 years. And I thought, you know, I need to do something in my community where I grew up to give a vision to the people there who are coming in and the people who have been there for generations, make them start thinking about how blessed we are today and how fortunate we were to be able to survive those hard times.
And how are you planning to show that or educate the students?
To begin with, living history means that we're going to have people coming in and talking about the olden days. What was it like? What did you do? For example, not everybody could shoe a horse back in the olden days. We had to go to special people who had the skills and the tools and the knowledge, and we will have a person showing how that was done. Then we will have people showing how food was made out of maybe 4 basic ingredients. That sounds almost impossible today, but what is really ironic is today, the majority of the people in the United States do not cook. We do what you call fast food. We do microwave or frozen meals. Very few of us who work 40 to 50 to maybe 60 hours a week have the energy or the desire to go ahead and cook in the evenings. And this will show you how the women would begin cooking early in the morning, and they may not finish until noon when their husband would come in from the field. They'd sit down, they'd eat, and the husband would lay down for an hour or two in the hottest part of the day. They'd get back out, they'd get behind their horse, and they'd get started on the fields again.
So these reenactments will be in living history tents. And where will these tents be?
We're going to have about 5 acres on the Mesilla Highway 28, and it's going to be on the east side, right behind the Ristra Man. And adjacent to that, there will be 3 acres where we're planning on going ahead and putting many of the Confederate soldiers and any of the Confederate people who want to do some displays or some talks about the Confederates during that time.
The events start out on Friday, October the 19th, from 9 to 4 p.m. You'll have educational and school visits, the Living History Tents, walking educational programs open to all Las Cruces area schools. And the students will be able to see all of these different people reenacting the times from that era.
That is correct. And we're going to have young children out there from one of the 4-H clubs. These students know and have been trained how to make certain foods, and they are going to be cooking these foods to show how simple it is to get done and how delicious they are. Any of the cookies that are made are going to be available for each person to take one. We're assuming that we won't be able to make 100 because we're going to be cooking them outside, not inside.
On Friday evening, then, you'll have the military ball, the U.S. 4th Cavalry, a band of the 1860s, with the townspeople, the community, and merchants dressed in time period garments of the 1860s. Tell me about that.
All right, from 10 to 4 on Saturday, we are going to have a Civil War reenactment, and that will begin about 10 o'clock. It's going to be on a vacant field that is going to be north of where the main activities are going to be held. The reason for it is that we are going to be having the cannons out there. We're going to be having the guns out there. We will not be using what I call real ammunition, the bullet and filling it, etc., with the powder. We will be using only powder items. However, it will be roped off so that the children and the adults can't get in an area where they may be hit with some of the powder.
Tell me a little bit about the reenactors. We have people here from the southern part of New Mexico, but I understand there's people from the northern part as well.
We are having some people come in from Arizona. We have a group from Santa Fe, New Mexico. Both groups are Confederate soldiers, and by that I mean they have the uniforms. This is a very serious hobby. They know all of the history that goes behind what they represent. They are very informed. They are very gung-ho. They are very anxious to explain to people how the people did what they did, those that were in the cavalry at the time.
What will the candlelight tour on Saturday evening from 7 to 9 show us?
The candlelight tour from 7 to 9 is going to show us around many of the tents to show you, give you a visual of how the people would prepare for the evening. You will learn about how they put the beds together. You'll see some of the lights that they may have used in some of the tents. You'll see the preparation that has to be made. You'll see people who might already be on the cot, if they have a cot, or they may be on the ground. You'll see some of the horses that will be tied up fairly close to the encampment, because none of the soldiers would leave their horses. That was like today. You wouldn't dare, if you were driving, try to go to work by foot. You'd jump in your car and you'd take off. Well, back in the olden days, they'd jump on their horse and take off, saddle it and take off.
Well, let's recap these events again. They're free to the public. Now, the reenactors will come in a day before on Thursday, October the 18th, to start their camps. And then on Friday, October the 19th, at 9 o'clock, the educational school visit till 4, 7 to 10, the military ball. Then on Saturday, October the 20th, from 10 a.m. till 4 p.m., the Living History Tents walking educational program, 11 a.m., the Civil War reenactment, and from 7 to 9, the candlelight tour. And then culminating on Sunday, October the 21st, from 10 till 2, with more storytelling, living history, tent stations, and reenactors then pack up and leave.
And I'd like to make one clarification. The military ball on Friday is going to be on the plaza and Old Mesilla. And that's where we're going to be setting up. We will have tables put out. We are decorating the tables. We are inviting people to come out and sit at the table, visit with your friend, or come and join us and dance. And you'll have fun out there, because this is something you will never, probably, ever get to do again for the first time. We look forward to that.
And it happens at the 100th anniversary of the statehood of New Mexico. So 50 years prior to New Mexico's statehood, the Civil War actually happened here in Mesilla, the North and the South fighting in Mesilla.
That is correct. And after the Southerners were sent out with General Sibley, he went ahead and took them toward the El Paso area. There were a few, not many, but a few of the Union soldiers who stayed here. I think it was just a matter of hours. Then they took off and went where they had come from. At that time and point in history, oral and written, the Indians started picking up the children and the women who would go down to the river to get water to take home, transport home, in order to do some of the washing at home. Therefore, that is when the California Column came in from California, only because we needed people out here to protect us. We had nobody. All the soldiers were gone at that time.
Tell me about the California Column.
The California Column was comprised of men who had come from Germany, Austria. We had a couple of people come from Texas. They had all gotten together in California. They were trained there. They were given their uniforms there. They were paid by the federal government to act as preventers of the killing, the raping, the getting the children and kidnapping of people in this area. And they stayed here for a little while, and then they were called back to California. And a few of our ancestors, that's where mine came in, Colonel Albert Jennings Fountain. He decided he wanted to come back to New Mexico, and this was where he wanted to go ahead and set up a practice. And he married a girl whose name was Mariana Perez de Ovante. And as I understand it through oral tradition and from checking back with some of the people in the old generation, Mariana was born in Mexico, and her mother had been born in Spain. And the mother's marriage had been a contract between a man in Mexico and this young woman who came from a very wealthy family. She traveled by boat. In fact, the man traveled to Spain by boat, picked her up, came back to Mexico, married her, and through that union, they had three children. Mariana was the middle one. And it would have been one of the major towns, I believe it was close to Ascension, and that is where the man lived. He had a ranch, and that is where he and his bride got married.
Your great-great-grandfather.
Not the colonel. This is Mariana's mother and father.
So was this one of the things that caused you to start thinking about the reenactment and the commemoration of the Civil War?
It had a small effect on me, but I think what really started me thinking, when I was still teaching, I was teaching at a local middle school, and across the hall, I had a male teacher who was teaching New Mexico history. He invited me to go into his room one day and just sit there and listen. And when the class was over, I said, "Why don't you tell them about this area?" And he said, "Well, what about this area?" And I said, "You mean when you went to college, they didn't talk about the important things that happened in this area of Mesilla?" Mesilla, we were still part of Mexico. And at the time, we had the Austrian prince fighting with the Spaniards and fighting with Mexico. And that is when he appointed a prince and princess to to come from his country, Austria, into Mexico, run Mexico, while he went back to Spain to finish his fight. And the teacher said, oh, and that was my clue. I thought, how can I help them? Because our classes are so timed and we have such rigid schedules that we dare not spend any more time than necessary because we have all kinds of planning, all kinds of paperwork to do, and it is incredible the amount of time it takes. There's no way you can do anything extra. And I thought, well, maybe someday. After 3 years of retirement, I started thinking about this little thing in the back of my mind, and I thought, what have I got to lose? I have the land. My brothers and sisters have the other land. Why can't we put it together? Why can't we plan a dream? Why can't we try something? How can it fail if no one's ever tried it? We'll have 150 years. That will be a prime time for our little people to come out, our teenagers, our college students, anybody who wants to come. Money is very tight. I'm very cognizant of that. And for that reason, I decided, you know, I've got to talk when I get the committee together and convince them that we need to do everything for free to encourage the people and their children to come and witness what we have dreamed up.
So this is something that is educational for our community, entertaining at the same time. You don't know whether it'll be an annual event at this point.
What we've done is we've gone out and we've searched for some of the sponsors, and we had 4 different levels. So far, the people that we have all contributed money. Now, what is the money for? It is not for us. What we are doing is we are giving the money to the people who are traveling in to help us give this presentation to our communities, to help them by giving them a stipend to help with their gas. The rest of the money will be going to help with motels. We have already contacted some motels and some RV places who have been very gracious in donating cut rates for our people. We're just trying to make it as easy on the people who are going to be coming in. You have to have traveled 2 hours or longer. So that means that those of us are here, forget us. We're not getting anything out of this except a good time. It's the people that will be coming from Arizona, from Colorado, from Texas, and from the northern part of New Mexico. And that is what our money is for.
Now, there's a poster contest also involving the students in Las Cruces and the different schools. Tell us about that. You've extended the deadline to October the 10th.
We came up with the poster idea thinking that this might be a way to get students involved whose gifts might lie elsewhere than just in academics. I think drawing, I think anything hands-on is very, very important. And the committee thought, wouldn't it be fun if we tried a poster contest and get something out of the brains of the children? How would they portray this? So the committee decided to do it, and we have one individual who has volunteered to give the first place for $300. Second place will be $125. Third place is $75. These are for middle schools, 1, 2, and 3, high school, 1, 2, and 3. So right there we have approximately $1,000 that an individual has said, I want to do that, and I want to be the sponsor, and I don't want my name divulged. So what we're going to be looking for is posters that can be drawn horizontally or vertically on 11 by 14 paper, or if you want to use poster board, that will also meet the criteria. The students may use any media, crayon, colored pencils, markers, poster paint, ink, watercolors, whatever preferred medium is for that individual, or if they want to do one on graphics through the computer, and all they need to do is submit the electronic file of the poster on CD or flash drive. And this is for computer-generated graphics only. The posters will not be returned. They will remain the property of the Gadsden Museum. They will be judged on the theme, the neatness, originality, artistic creation, the execution that they have done. And when a student does a piece of artwork, we look, how diligent were they? Were they really methodical? Were they really taking a lot of pride in it, or did they throw it together? I'd like to say I wish I was back in high school and that I was a senior right now. I would myself draw something for $300. What would I have to lose?
They do have to deliver the artwork then to the Gadsden Museum at 1875 Bouts Road, but call beforehand to 526-6293. And thank you very much, Tansy, for coming and telling us about the significance of the event in this area and for the events coming up in 2 weeks, starting Friday, October the 19th through Sunday, October the 21st. And if we still have people who would like to donate, and they can contact you at the Gadsden Museum, messia.com. That's your website, correct?
That is correct. Yes.
And there's information there where they can contact you as well. And so the Civil War era will be relived in Messia.
For the first time, we're very excited. It will add to the excitement if we can get a lot of people who are, I'm going to call them natives, if they were born here in Messia. We call those Messieros.
Thank you again, Tansy Alexander Bird, chairperson now of the 150th Civil War commemoration in Messia, New Mexico, October 18th through the 21st.
Thank you, Emily. It was a joy and an honor to be able to be here with you.